Well, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Text I've used many times. And every time I use it, learn something else. Isn't that good? When you get there, go ahead and stand. We're going to look at the first 8 verses of Matthew 17. Everybody there? All right. Beginning in verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you, and I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to stand before your people and to share your word. Father, I just pray you'll bring to my memory and mind those things I've studied. Lord, let me preach with boldness and authority those truths that need to be shared this morning. And Father, may hearts be receptive to your word this morning. May your flock be fed the word of God. And Lord, you know spiritual condition of those I stand before. If there's one that needs to come for any reason, salvation, baptism, church membership, rededication, whatever the need, when the invitation is given, I pray, Lord, that have liberty to come through your drawing and convincing of the Holy Spirit. Father, continue to bless Lone Mountain, add souls for our labor. And Lord, you've heard the requests. We lay them before you. We just seek that your will be done with each one. Again, Lord, let me stand behind your cross and say those things you've laid upon my heart. I love you and I praise you and I thank you for the privilege and honor. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is a wonderful passage. And it's a passage concerning the future kingdom that the Lord is going to establish here on the earth. And that future kingdom is called the millennial kingdom. And if you go back to chapter 16, you'll find that when you come to 17 in the word and to lead off, that means 16 and 17 are together. It's just going on. In 16, Jesus told Peter he was going to die for the sins of his disciples in the world. And of course, Peter being Peter said, oh, no, you're not. He rebuked Jesus. He said, no, you're not going to die. Well, he had to put Peter in his place. Sometimes the Lord has to put us in our place, doesn't he? Boy, I tell you what, he can do it. Been there. But then he tells them, some of you, speaking about his disciples, will not taste death until you see the Son of Man come in his glory. Now think about that for a second. There's some of us have been blood-bought and washed by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ who may not die. Have you ever thought about that? I have. I'm hoping I'm in that generation. I'm hoping I'm one of those. Amen. But I will assure you, though, if I die and you die, nothing to worry about, because in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I will wake up in His presence. So whether I'm alive or I'm dead, one thing is for sure. The rapture is going to take place. Amen. And I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is. How about you? I'm thankful that I believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Believe it or not, there's some that don't. I'm thankful that I believe He died for everyone's sin. His vicarious death is what I'm talking about. I believe that. Some don't. I'm thankful for His victorious resurrection. Do you understand? We celebrated Easter last Sunday, but there was a lot of folks that don't believe in His resurrection. But I'm thankful I do. I'm thankful. I know Him. Do you know Him this morning? Now let's get into this. I want to talk to you just a little bit about what He said. I'm not going to get into too much of the prophetic, because you know what? You've heard me preach this before out of this text. Let me just say this. I've used the text before because it's the Word of God. But believe me, it's a different message. Because God's Word is fresh. It's the bread of life. I like fresh bread. How about you? You like stale, day-old bread? Two-day-old bread? That's the worst stuff. Dogs won't even eat it. I like fresh bread. Y'all eat toast, don't you, every morning? Well, this is what I eat. And it's fresh bread. 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And verse 4 is what I want us to look at. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Lord, this is a good place. Now, that's what I want to speak to you about. Do you know how to recognize a good place when you see it? Now, as we go through the valley and mountains of life, and believe me, that's how life is. One day we're down in the valley, the next day we're on a mountaintop, and sometimes it seems like there's more valleys than mountains, top experiences. But listen to me. Are you able to say, even if you're in the valley, even if you're in a lot of pain, even if you're having financial trouble, even if things are just totally chaotic, are you able to say, even though I'm in the valley and having these difficulties, I'm in a good place? Because sometimes those valleys, we may not think so, but they're for our good, and it's a good place. So the Bible tells us here that Jesus went up to a mountain. In fact, Peter called it a holy mount. And they went up there, and he went with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. Now, they were considered his inner circle. And he had used them in ministry before. When Jairus' daughter died, he allowed them to tag along. Remember, they were there. Some would say, well, that makes God, and by the way, Jesus is God, that makes God a respecter of persons. He only took those three. Listen to me. The Word of God tells me that God is not a respecter of persons. The bottom line is this. The reason those three were in the inner circle, the reason those three were able to go along was, one, He was going to show them just a glimpse of His glory and what they had waiting for them. And two, It wasn't because he loved them more than anybody else. Listen, he loves us all the same. But listen, these fellas responded to his love. There's a lot of folks out there say, I love the Lord, but they want to keep a distance. Amen. They want to stay back. Listen, if you're going to see God in his glory, you're going to have to get right next to him. Listen, I would love to have the opportunity that John had when he laid his head on the Lord's bosom in the upper room. Have you ever stopped to consider? He felt the breath of God on his head. I couldn't comprehend that. But that's how close. And not only did he feel the breath of God on his head, but Jesus also let him in on a few things. You see, you can be as close to God as you want to be, but it's up to you. And you'll never be as close to him as you should be if you don't know his son as your personal savior. But it's up to you. So I guess what I'm trying to say right off the bat is stop standing back and get up next to him. Amen? You can. If you just will. If you just will. So he carries them up to the mount. And again, he was transfigured before them. Now, science was not my best class when I was in school. Only reason the teacher allowed me to pass biology was if I was going to play football, I had to have a passing grade. It wasn't because I was smart, but I did learn a couple things because one, I'm from the country, and two, I listened. And the word transfigured, the word is the same as metamorphosis. You ever seen a caterpillar? See, a caterpillar is an ugly bug. They're ugly, they crawl. In fact, where were we the other day? One of the girls had a caterpillar in the backyard. Screaming. And we do what we always do in the country. Dad, go ahead. Sorry, that's what we do. We take care of a bug. Anyways, I know what you're going to say, but they crawl, they're ugly, and they get themselves in a cocoon, and then in a period of time, like I said, they crawl into a cocoon, in a period of time, they come out this beautiful butterfly. I know I killed a butterfly. Not that one. That's for sure. But they come out a beautiful butterfly. And believe me, they had to crawl in the beginning as a caterpillar, but isn't it amazing how God is? They learn to fly after they metamorphosis. Now the word meta means change. And more means form. So metamorphosis means a change of form or appearance. And I did catch that, by the way, while I was in school. I learned that. I can truly say no one... You know, I didn't have someone do my homework. I learned that. But that's what transfigured was. You see, this wasn't the first time, though, y'all. Get this. Believe it or not, this wasn't the first time that the Lord metamorphosized. You see, when he was in the glory of heaven, he, through the Holy Spirit, came down into a virgin womb and was born at Bethlehem into the world. Understand, he's God. Y'all know that he was before Bethlehem, right? His birth. No, hey, he was always been. He always will be. He has no beginning. He has no end. But when he came to earth, born as a human being, as he grew in those years before he finally came in and followed the Lord in baptism, when he finally took up why he had come into the world to die for our sins, he was just a normal looking man. Nothing special about him, but oh, did he have special power. And as that person, his glory was concealed within him. Now see, he's God, and believe me, God is glory. But when they're on the mount, when he's there with Peter and James and John, that glory came out. And they were able to see his glory. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I love feeling a little bit of his glory. You know, I'm not like Moses. I never saw him, his back, as he passed me by. I've never heard him speak audibly to me. But there's been times since I have been a born-again child of God that I have seen his work and his glory. And beloved, all I can recommend to you this morning, if you ever experience his glory, listen, embrace it. And I'll let you in on a little secret. You know those times in the valley when we're out of a good place? That glory will be what sustains you and gets you through. Amen? Been there. Been there. Now, notice what happens. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. First thing I got to say before I even get into this is, understand it's been a little over 1,500 years since Moses died. And now we see Moses with Elijah there on that holy mount, as Peter called it. And they are conversing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, Moses is talking. He's there. He's recognizable. They knew who he was. Do you get the picture? The picture is this. Moses, even though God himself buried him, did his funeral, and then took him to glory, is back because he's alive. So when we die in Christ, we don't go to the grave and sleep until the resurrection. No, the moment we draw our last breath, we are in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Those that are redeemed. Amen. And let me reiterate, there is no such thing as soul sleep. But there's some folks that will teach that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now here's Moses, here's Elijah. And by the way, let's talk about Elijah just a second. You see, Moses represents the redeemed who die in the faith. Elijah, he didn't die. He was carried off to heaven in a chariot of fire. He represents those that will not taste death but will be raptured up to be with the Lord in glory. Amen. Now that's some good stuff. That'll preach. Understand this morning. Here's Elijah. Here's Moses. Now, of course, what are they talking about? Well, they're talking to Jesus about him dying. We're talking about his decease. In fact, that's what the Bible says over in Luke chapter 9. Talking about his decease. In other words, he's going to die. You say, well, wouldn't I like to have heard that conversation? Me too.
But you understand what the word deceased means? Dead.
Yeah, but it means exodus. That's what it means. You see, Jesus is fixing, after he dies on the cross, to exodus this world. That's what he's talking about. Now, get this. Back to Moses. Moses represented the law. And every sacrifice from his time until Jesus came into the world pointed to a Redeemer that was a perfect sacrifice that would come. And of course, Elijah, being a prophet, was the one that foretold and said that God would send a lamb that would be sufficient for God's offering and accepted by his sacrifice, and man could be saved or redeemed. So here's Moses, here's Elijah. They're talking about the Lord and his impending death. And I've heard some say, I've even read a few different books from authors that said they were there to encourage him because Jesus was so afraid. Seriously? You believe that nonsense? No. You know what I did with the books? No. Listen, no man took his life. He freely gave his life. He wasn't afraid to die. He died for our sins. The only thing that bothered him was he knew that his father would have to turn his back because of the sin of the world that was placed upon him. But he wasn't afraid to die. You can't kill a God. The God. Can't kill him. He died as a man, but God never died. I get a kick out of some of these writers. God is dead. No, he's not. Notice. Then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Now, again, Peter's like most of us. You know, he just exchanges one foot for the other. The Bible says that nobody over in Luke, it says it, or Mark, excuse me, talking about the transfiguration of Christ. The Bible says that none of them knew what to say. Peter did. Lord, this is a good place. But when you first look at it, you say, well, hey, that's a good deal. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, there is. You see, Peter said, Lord, let me build tabernacles for you and for Moses and for Elijah. You say, well, preacher, what's the big deal? That would be great. No, because Peter was comparing the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, to Moses and Elijah. He was equating that they were all equal. Never! So Peter got his mouth to running. Yeah, this is a good place. Let's do this. Sometimes it's better to not say anything than to talk. You know why? Because, remember, Jesus said, every idle word we speak, we're accountable for. It scares me to death. Because I've been guilty of some idle words. Amen?
Amen.
No, he cleaned me up when he saved me. He changed my language. But I can still get angry. I can still say something about someone that hurts my feelings or makes me mad. Every idle word. We'd be better off as Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud. Amen? So, he says, Lord, it's a good place for us to be here. Thou wilt let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, when you first look at it, you say, ah, ain't too bad. No, he was comparing Jesus to his creation. No, listen, Jesus is God. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the Ancient of Ages. He is the I Am. Understand, he was wrong. And because of Peter's error, and it was an error, because of it, the seventh person comes on the scene. God the Father. And he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You see, he was reminding Peter, hey, no. This is my Son. He's not like Moses. Moses was a faithful servant of God. But no, never compare anyone, any apostle, to Jesus. And let me just say this is what I'm scared of today. Lots of folks worship this book. Lots of folks worship the church. Lots of folks worship the doctrine. And they forget it's all about Jesus. And if you are worshiping anything or anyone other than Jesus and Jesus alone, then you need to get that fixed. And you need to do it now. It's all about Him. Now, notice. Remember, God said when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he said the same thing as he started his ministry. Now he's almost at the end of his ministry, and he says the same thing. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen, Jesus always did that which pleased the Father. Can we say the same thing this morning? If we're honest in the house of God and honest before Him, we're all lacking. Because we certainly don't always do what pleases the Father. Now, notice verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. Now, over in Luke, when he's talking about the transfiguration, the Bible says that they were asleep. But they wake up after hearing God speak. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. They wake up and Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. And all that they see is Jesus. Beloved, He's all we ever need to see and He's all that we'll ever need. Amen. And the Bible says they were what? They were afraid. They fell on their face and were sore afraid. Look at the next verse. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. You see, Jesus had been lost in all of this. The disciples were seeing Moses and Elijah and they heard the voice of God. But Jesus was over here. But now we see Jesus where He's supposed to be. And the Bible says when they fell prostrate and were afraid, what did Jesus do? He came and He touched them. What did He touch them with? His grace and peace. You see, be not afraid. And that's just like Jesus, huh? You see, there is nothing greater than the grace of God that brings about peace. Peace when we lack faith. Peace when it seems like our life is nothing but turmoil. When He touches us with His grace and gives us that peace that passes all understanding, there is nothing better. Something about grace and peace that takes away doubt and fear. Nothing greater. So He goes, He appears before the disciples, laying there afraid. Fear not. Be not afraid. And then look at what it says. And when they had lifted their eyes, they saw no man but Jesus. You see, not only did they experience at that time God's grace, and I pray everybody here has experienced the grace of God concerning salvation and the peace that you'll only get with knowing Jesus as your Savior. But also, I pray you've experienced His presence. There's two things that are for certain for all of us that have been saved and born again. Two things. One, the Lord is never going to change. He's always going to be there. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. So no matter what you face, no matter what place you are at this morning, you can count on Him. You got a burden you're carrying, He can lift it. Not saved, He can save you. You see, He can handle any situation in your life. Just call on Him. Because He's faithful and He's there. So, I wrote down three things. And no, I'm not starting the sermon now. That was my introduction. No, I won't scare you. So, you can know you're in a good place, first of all, when you can examine His glory. Oh, again, nothing like the glory of God. Felt His touch. No, I didn't jump pews. I didn't speak a heavenly language. But I felt His touch. And if you've ever felt His touch, take your time. Stay as long as you can, because there's nothing like it. You can tell you're in a good place also when you exalt His greatness. Is He great? Think about this. This is all to show what the disciples and those of us that have followed in Christ, what we have waiting for Him. Just a picture. Just a little taste of what it's going to be like in His kingdom. The glory. Oh my goodness. And finally, you know you're in a good place when you experience His grace. Amen? That's a fact. Nothing like the grace of God. Can I ask you a question? Where would you be if it wasn't for the grace of God? I'd probably be either in a cemetery somewhere or in an alley somewhere laid out by a dumpster. But by God's grace, as Paul said, I am what I am. Thank God for the grace. So if you're under the sound of my voice, I hope this will help you. Again, you may be in a situation that you think, oh, I can't handle this. You ever stop to thank God's allowing you to go through that situation? Because even though you might say it's bad, in God's eyes, it's good because you're looking to Him. and you're growing. Christian life, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. When I worked in the oil fields, and of course I was a lost man, that was the hardest physical job I ever did in my life. And believe me, I'm paying for it physically. But listen, it doesn't compare trying to serve the Lord with all my heart and live for Him. This is hard, but oh, is it rewarding? Oh, is there a peace? Oh, is there grace? I wouldn't trade this life for any life. I saw, he's a rapper, and I don't listen to rap music, but I've seen him, he made a couple movies. 50 years old, DMX, 50 years old, died. Had taken off life support because he had OD'd. Now here was a man that had recognition, sold millions of albums, he had money galore. I would not trade my life for his for no amount of money. The life I have in Christ is worth all the gold that this earth can produce. And if you have that life in Christ, we've done got it all. We don't have it all. They ain't got nothing on us. My Father has cattle scattered on 1,000 hills. Think about that. Amen. I like that. Amen, brother. Absolutely. The hills too. It's all ours. Can you claim that? You see, I guess what I'm trying to say in close is, if you recognize these things, you're in a good place. Next time you come into a bad place, and you will, you'll come into a valley, remember the good place. And it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. Because He is coming again. And He will establish His kingdom. And when He's here, we won't see the nonsense we see today. He'll rule and reign with an iron fist. And everyone there, sir? Yeah, amen. Thank you. And everyone there won't be rebellious. They will follow Him. Because that's why we're here. He's preparing us for when He rules and reigns, we will follow Him. No rebellion. We won't be storming the capital, Jerusalem. Will be there in unity following the Savior. So, again, if you're not saved, please come. He wants to save you. Do what He's leading you to do this morning. You feel you need to follow the Lord in baptism? You come. But listen, don't come thinking that baptism saves. It's only Jesus that saves. Baptism is for those that have been saved. Amen. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. Listen, we all fall short of God's glory. Sometimes we drift. But you know what? He stands with arms open wide, ready to receive you if you'll just come back. Whatever God's leading you to do, if there's a burden, He'll lift it. If there's a need, He'll meet it. Just obey His voice this morning.